I'm sure many of you have been watching the Olympics the past few days. It's pretty dramatic to see the young athletes compete and hear the stories behind them. And the victors take the podium and they're honored as heroes. And you see nations themselves competing for status, seeing how many medals that they can get. But when we look at these athletes, they make incredible sacrifices day in and day out in order to excel at their different sports. They push their bodies to the limits, physically, the limits of training, the limits of endurance, in order to attain victory. But when we look at human beings, we're comprised of two elements, body and soul. And Olympic athletes excel at training their bodies. Whatever sport it's for, whether it's swimming or track or gymnastics or whatever sport they're involved in, they excel at training their bodies to push their bodies to the limit. But as Christians, what we're called to excel at first and foremost is the training of our souls. To push our souls to the state in which our Lord created us to be, a state of holiness. Ultimately, the state of our soul is far more important than the state of our body. And so when we look at these Christian these athletes in the Olympics and how they push their bodies and how they train, as Christians, we should be doing the same thing on a spiritual level. We should be training our souls. Sometimes people think that the Christian life is easy or they think it's boring. And I think a lot of times they do that because they set the bar really, really low. They'll say things like, well, as long as I don't kill anyone or commit any big sins, then I think I'm okay. It's like, as long as I don't perpetrate genocide, then I think I'm okay. It's like, well, that's setting the bar pretty low in terms of what's required of us as Christians. But where does Christ set the bar? One quote from Christ, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the elite in the Jewish religion. They were the ones doing incredible penance. They were the leaders of the Jewish people. And Christ says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So Christ sets the bar pretty high. So I think it's important for us as Christians to not set the bar real low and be settled for this low bar, but to realize what Christ is calling us to. A Christian life is not easy. What we're called to as Christians, what we strive for ultimately, is complete and total self-mastery. That we are in complete control of every desire within us, overcoming every element of self-will. Complete detachment from worldly things, so that at every moment we can conform our will to the will of God. That's not easy. That is what's required for sainthood, though. We're called to be elite athletes on a spiritual level. It's important for us to realize that as Christians, we have to undergo intense training day in and day out in the Christian life in order to achieve this call which the Lord is calling us to. If we think that the Christian life is boring or if we think it's easy, chances are we probably haven't even taken the first step in the Christian life. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, what these Olympic athletes are doing, that's pretty easy. I can do that. It's easy to say that without setting foot in the gym. But when you show up the first day in the gym, it's like, man, this is hard work. And it is. So it should be for us. What are we talking about in terms of training our souls in spiritual discipline? Well, a couple of examples. There's a big difference between someone, if you're driving and someone cuts you off, why does one person say, oh, it's no big deal, and not think twice about that, while someone else flies off the handle and thinks thoughts or says things they shouldn't be saying when someone cuts them off? One person has been trained in self-discipline, one hasn't. How come if someone offends us deeply, one person instantly forgives them and prays for them, while another person harbors a grudge? These are spiritual differences within us. And the list goes on and on and on. In our second reading from the Hebrews, it talks about this great cloud of witnesses. And this is a biblical example of the communion of the saints. It goes through these Old Testament figures like Abraham and David and Moses and recounts them as heroes and gives them to us as examples to live by. And so they give us examples of what it means to excel in virtue and what our Lord is calling us to. And we have tremendous examples throughout the history of the church of people who have done that. And when we look at these saints, they give us examples of what it looks like to attain sainthood, to live a life of incredible holiness. Just give a few examples. St. John Vianney, patron saint of priests, he would spend 16 hours a day in the confessional. You know, if I have to hear confessions for 2 or 3 hours, I'm pretty drained after that. You know, I can't imagine 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, week in and week out. And he would do incredible penance for the salvation of souls and for the conversion of the people who came to him for confession. What an incredible example of endurance to be able to do that. Another saint, St. Francis. He grew up with worldly wealth. He was very privileged. He liked to party. After his conversion to Christ, he decided to give away all of his worldly possessions, renounce his inheritance, and embrace extreme poverty. Why? Because he wanted nothing else in this world. He wanted only Jesus Christ. And he didn't want any attachment to pull his attention away from our Lord. And so he rejoiced in poverty. He called her Lady Poverty, because he knew that was the path to complete attachment to Christ. Another example, St. Agnes, 12-year-old girl in the Roman Empire, in the early Christian history. She was denounced for being a Christian. She had espoused herself to Christ from a young age, and she didn't want to give herself to anyone else. She wanted to be entirely consecrated to Jesus Christ. So she was turned over to the Roman authorities, who tried to intimidate her. They locked her up in shackles, but they just fell off her wrists because she was only 12 years old. They couldn't hold her. And the executioners tried to intimidate her with all the tools of execution, and she wasn't intimidated at all. The Roman executioner, on seeing the courage of this 12-year-old girl facing death, was trembling as he went up to execute her, as she looked at him with absolute courage, knowing that her sacrifice was going to lead her to Jesus Christ. You know, what a tremendous example of courage from a 12-year-old girl. Another example, St. Gianna, a mother who refused to have an abortion during a troubled pregnancy and ended up giving her life so that her child may live. She died, but her child survives and is now very active in the pro-life movement. You know, these examples of saints, these are heroic examples, and it shows us what the Lord is calling us to. He's calling each one of us to greatness, to sainthood. And these people didn't just, they weren't just born as saints. These are people who dedicated themselves to long hours of prayer. They dedicated themselves to penance, and they dedicated themselves to training in virtue day in and day out. And that's what we're called to do. You know, we're called to greatness, not to mediocrity. And so sainthood is not the beginning point. That's the end result of the training and discipline that we're called to as Christians. So where should we begin? And if we say to ourselves, well, you know, I'm not quite there yet, I think we can all say that. But where do we begin? Well, Christ gives us a good example in today's gospel. He talks about how he's come to set the earth on fire and how he wishes it was already blazing. What's he talking about? You know, what he's talking about, he says, I have a baptism with which to be baptized. He's looking forward to his torture, his execution, and his death. He's yearning for that. Why? Not because he wants to undergo that punishment, but because he wants to redeem souls. His concern in the depth of his heart for the salvation of the world is so great that he's yearning for his passion and death. There is a zeal in his heart for the salvation of the souls of each one of us. So where to begin? Well, I think the starting point is for each one of us to develop within ourselves a zeal for the salvation of souls. A good meditation. Perhaps something you can meditate about today. Every day, millions of people pass from this life into the next. Millions of people will die today. And when the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Fatima, she said, unfortunately, that souls are being lost to the fires of hell like snowflakes in a snowstorm. So the reality is, of the millions of people who are going to pass away today, there's a likelihood that many of them may not attain salvation. Take that into meditation and think about that. We can do something to help. Our prayers, our work of penance, our dedication can actually win over souls. Take that to meditation and nurture in yourself a zeal for the salvation of souls. And every one of us should be willing to make our lives a living sacrifice for the salvation of the world. Whether we're priests or single or married, whatever state of life we're in, whether we're young or old, to say, Lord, I desire the salvation of souls. I yearn in my heart for the salvation of the world. And to begin with our own ourselves, our family members, our friends, and those around us. To have a yearning for the salvation of souls. To be praying, to be doing penance, and to dedicate our lives to the salvation of the world. That's a good starting point. So if you're wondering where to start, where do we begin to dedicate ourselves to Christ more fully? Begin by nurturing a zeal for the salvation of souls. And we may have to push other things aside in our lives, things that aren't that important, other attachments. And that's a good thing. Get rid of them if we have to. But dedicate ourselves to the salvation of the world. That's a good first step in order to dedicate ourselves to training for sainthood. The Olympic athletes achieve greatness in terms of physical ability. But how much greater it is to attain greatness in terms of our souls in attaining sainthood.